following is a previously brought.
Agencia. First thing in the morning, when I wake up, thank God for life. Look in the mirror, say, bitch, I'm the best.
We welcome you to another edition of Spitfire. Spitfire is a monthly radio broadcast for women of color by women of color that airs every last Wednesday of the month on CKUT 90.3 FM. First off, Spitfire acknowledges that we are settlers on the traditional territory of the Gunaikahaga people. The Gunaikahaga are the keepers of the eastern door of the Haudenosaunee Confederacy. Spitfire believes it is not enough to acknowledge the keepers of this land and that everyone, ourselves included, should seek greater awareness and to actively confront colonialism and neocolonialism in their many forms and work to deconstruct and decolonize. A starting point for self-education is idlememoir.ca.
Trigger warning for residential schools. For this month's land acknowledgement, we want to take a moment of silence for the now 5,296 stolen children who have been found across the country as a result of Canada's residential school system. Every child matters. For those in need of emotional and mental support, please call the residential school hotline at 1-866-925-4419 for the 24/7 crisis hotline. So we've been off for the month of July, you know, taking care of ourselves in the process, but we're back again. And this month we're taking it slow, but we have something very special for you, someone very special that's here tonight, Samantha from the Black Healing Center. And we're going to talk about their initiative and all things Black mental health. So stay tuned for this and more on Spitfire Women of Color Radio on CKUT 90.3 FM.
Big B. GH. If I'm the same. Midi and Dame. If I'm a BR, free to the NYA. Body in a London, body in a GH. I'm in my bag this year, I'm gonna need a briefcase. I want a piece of the cake like I had a cheat day. Bad girl in a mini skirt, I'm aware. Pass a zoom, I'm a two's quick, two square. Don't ask me the secret to my fat derriere. Can't you see that bank going for food in there? I come true looking like a bag of money. Ain't no surprise that the man that want me. Must be cause I got the sauce and the teriyaki. Tion, please get the money back to Lani. Sis, don't leave your man around me. He will leave and return home as a groupie. I probably took him by mistake. If you like, sue me. She ain't my amigo, she ain't bad and bougie. I be boss chicks who want me and dad damn me. I get the reggae sauce, no rasp. I miss it. Who wants to carry bread then for mommy? I made a wave, all you bitches should die, my say. All for the moolah, pepper them, no suya. Tryna find a belly, I ain't talking about fupa. Celtic and healthy, I don't need booper.
Looking for a brother that can dive, no scuba. Mash up the beat like, and I'll go and sing it back to me like, I got a new sound and it's sweet like, and this year we're bringing all the heat like, mash up the beat like, and I'll go and sing it back to me like, I got a new sound and it's sweet like, and this year we're bringing all the heat like. Can never be me. I got this dude locked down and I ain't talking tier three. I'm bilingual, I talk money and a little bit of tree. Dosh girl, I know be easy like Doremi. I be ill, nana. Tell me who had that international. I want cross brothers. I been had it from way back, pre-order. He gon' shoot the club up if it ain't a big baller. She doesn't like me. I couldn't care less. Can't be a wifey. I'm so careless. And when I want fleek, I phone hair rest. I'm such a bold bitch, like I gone hairless. Yes, I feel like flexing. African girl with a body impressing. Get on your knees. Charlie, this be your blessing. When I'm on a mic, it's no one to test it. This boy here, they talk too much. Me, I no get time, my time costs too much. If you really like me, you have to spend some dodge. One action, not every day, I love. Yen and Tem, I don't have time for waiting. Number one and ain't up for debating. This year, solely congratulating. A new level's now been activated. Mash up the beat like, and now go and sing it back to me like, I got a new sound and it's sweet like, and this year we're bringing all the heat like. Mash up the beat like, and now go and sing it back to me like, I got a new sound and it's sweet like, and this year we're bringing all the heat like.
So welcome back to Spitfire Women of Color Radio on CKUT 90.3 FM. You are now listening to Homecoming Freestyle by the talented Brina. Brina? I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly.
I don't know either. I think.
Well, anyway, it was fire. So, we are so lucky to be joined by the lovely Samantha this month. Hoot hoot. Drum roll effect, siren effect, all the effects that I wish we could have right now.
Oh my gosh, I'll add them.
Yay. So you've been on the show a couple of times, more than a couple of times now, so yay. Mm-hmm. And we are putting the spotlight on you to talk about your amazing initiatives and events coming up, so
thank you.
So what should we start with? So we'll start with the Black Healing Center. What is it?
Yes, thank you so much for having me. Y'all are amazing. I love being here. So Black Healing Center is an initiative that I started this year, and the goal is to have a physical healing space for Black folks open here in Jojaque, Montreal, next year, because we don't have a space like that in the city, to be honest, anywhere in Canada, really, from the research that I've been doing. So it's it'll be one of its kind, and it's something that is way long overdue.
And what was the original seed, and how did it grow to get for you to get to Black Healing Center? Like, what was the trajectory?
The seed comes really from my own experience of trying to access mental health care here in Montreal. I moved here about 6 years ago to go to like theater school, and I was experiencing a lot of mental breakdowns, and I was like, I need to go see somebody. And my first person that I saw was like typing on Google, affordable therapists. And I went to see this non-Black therapist, and I remember living, feeling so shitty. And again, not because of the things we had discussed in the therapy session, but because I had to stop and explain and defend what I was saying and how I was feeling throughout my session. Yeah, and then I remember, this was like 5 years ago, I called a few community organizations that help Black folks, and I was like, hey, do y'all have somebody online that I could talk to? And they were like, oh, we'll put you on the list. I never got a call from them. I went to Facebook, I was like, help, somebody, I need to see a Black therapist. And thankfully someone sent me like this Tumblr page that they call themselves the Lavender Collective, had created. And they had some Black therapists on there, and I was able to find one, but I had to leave school to be able to afford a therapist, and so it's like it was just like a lot of jumping through hoops for me to find a therapist. And even when I finished with my first therapist and decided to go back again, it was like, oh shit, finding a therapist is so hard. There's a list of therapists, but it feels like it's so much energy, yeah, that you have to spend. By the time you actually find somebody, you're like, you know what, I'm done. You know, like, I'm tired. Right. I don't want to do this anymore. Mm-hmm. And all these affordable places that are exist in Montreal really serve largely like white populations. They don't have black therapists on their lists. True. And they have waiting lists for like 3 months. So it's like if you're a person in crisis, like I was 5 years ago, like I could not wait 3 months. And so the seed really started from my experience of trying to find a therapist and having to go through so many hoops of trying to find one. And I don't want that for myself, and I don't want that for any other black person who, it's so hard for us to go to therapy, to take that chance with all the stigma that exists in the community about what therapy is and how it's seen as like this white thing. And so when you finally like get up that courage to go to see a therapist and there's all these barriers to find one, I want to be able to kind of fill that gap and be like, there's a space you can go to and these people will be able to help you.
Right. I mean, it's like, it's really interesting how your personal experience kind of like shaped your path towards this, because, you know, I feel like, I mean, it's not great to like lump everyone, but I feel like this is a common experience that people are having, especially like black people, where it's like, you have to jump through all these hoops, like you were saying, just to be able to find one person, and that one person who's going to be giving you the time to kind of express yourself without having to like explain yourself.
Yes.
It doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's like, go ahead.
Sorry. No, go ahead.
I was just going to say that it's so important for us to like be able to talk to somebody who like actually understands, and not someone who's like going through some, who's like, you know, they're nodding, but you don't know, they're like, you know, they don't actually understand. They might understand it from a textbook, but on like an experiential level, they don't understand that. And when you finally are sitting across from somebody who's like, nah, I get you, and they're like, they roll eyes at some things you say, and like you roll your eyes at too, and like, you know, those little things that happen, and you have like, you get to speak to another black person of like, I don't know, you say, I don't know, this person touched my hand, they're like, oh no, you didn't, you know, like, but right. My therapist will never be able to say that, you know? It's
that's
like...
exactly what I was thinking about.
So they're just like those little moments and those things that are make the experience so much more deeper, and the connection is just so rich.
And like in therapy, it's not just like, oh, I'll go and find a therapist. Oh, not working, another one. It's like, it takes a lot of courage and energy, and it's really an emotional roller coaster to open up. And like, you're not talking about all the happy things that happen to you. Like, you're obviously going because there are things that you want to work on, or like a crisis or crises, whatever. So to open up about that and be that vulnerable, like, it also takes time. So it's,
like I said, it's time, but it's also like time with that one person, because it's not to say, like, in the system that we have now, it's not necessarily like you're talking to the same person all the time.
Exactly.
And then you have to start the process over. So like, you've done all this work to even just get to the first step of just being comfortable. Yeah. And then for whatever reason, let's just say, you know, that therapist no longer available, or you're no longer comfortable with the service, so you have to like try and find another one. And then it's like, again, I have to start by re-explaining my story, re-explaining like this whole situation that I'm going through, and then try again to get comfortable. And it just ends up being like this vicious cycle that can't get out of.
Right.
Yeah.
That's true. And for the Black Healing Center, so what are you imagining? Like, someone walks in, what do they see?
What I'm imagining is we're going to have kind of like a cafe space. And so it'll be a space where you can come and get food and get drinks. So really a space to kind of have a communal space where we can gather and connect with each other. And then we'll have a separate room that will be the healing space. And it'll be, we'll have like different medicines that folks can sell, other like different people in the community who identify as Black, Indigenous, or BIPOC, And so really be a communal gathering place for Black folks, Indigenous folks, and other folks who've been like so-called marginalized.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow.
And you use the word healing a lot. So why did you choose the word healing rather than mental health?
That's a good question. I chose the word healing because there's mental health, but I think our mental health is so connected to every aspect of our bodies. Like harm resides in different parts of ourselves. And so there's like, when you talk about healing, also there's like different kinds of modalities of healing. To start it off, we're going to focus on like talk therapy, but also like looking into like what are the other Afro-Indigenous ways of healing that our ancestors used, because there are practitioners that use that now, and how can we tap into that and look into that, because talk therapy doesn't work for everybody. And so I think talking about mental health, but also the physical and the spiritual and just all the other things that encompass a human being, for me, healing felt like it was the right word to use. It doesn't translate well in French, though, so that's one thing I've noticed.
That's important. That's important. They'll figure it out.
But being in Quebec, it's like, oh, damn, oh, this true. Is not, you know.
I mean, they'll figure it out. I mean, worst case scenario, you know.
It's going to be franglais.
Exactly, you can. Black Healing Center.
Exactly. Add an accent here and there for healing. Right. Like, you're good. Like, it works out. It works out.
Can't you see it's slang? It's like new French. The new generation uses that. Mm-hmm.
It's in the new LaRousse dictionary. It works out. No, I mean, but I think it's a really beautiful concept. Like what you said, it's like it's all encompassing and not necessarily like categorizing. Certain mental health issues or subjects. It's just kind of just like overall healing.
Right. And
full
like
body.
Exactly. And you were saying earlier how there's a lot of stigma, and it's when we talk about therapy or something like that, it's often like associated with a white thing. And I feel like the way that you're describing all the services to really adapt to each person, so each Black person can find their thing, I feel like it's super powerful to move away from like, this is mental health, you know, like
exactly.
To include different practices.
Yeah. Cause I think it's important to try and listen to everybody, as many people as we can in the community anyway, that might be interested. Like, I don't know. One of the things that I'm like, makes me so happy is like this past summer, we just did like a drama therapy workshop with seniors.
Ooh, tell us.
It was so lovely, just and it was facilitated by Kathleen Charles, who's an art therapist in training at Concordia, and just seeing all these like Black older women and just being open to coming into a space and exploring this thing, because like we talk a lot about how it's like, oh, the older generation doesn't want to talk about therapy, you know, like they don't want to do that, but it's like there are other ways of incorporating, and I think art for me has always been a pivotal. Has been really important in the works that in the work that I do, and in trying to see how art really facilitates connection as human beings. And so being able to be in that space and seeing them being able to open up and embrace this thing called drama therapy was just beautiful to witness. And so when I talk about healing, that's part of it. It's like, how can we incorporate different ways of like art therapy, drama therapy, dance therapy, all these things. And it's just like having also just conversations. Like I tell everybody, like, every time I talk to like Anubri or like folks who are like really close to me, I'm like, I'm having soul food and it's so healing. And so those conversations in themselves are healing. And so healing doesn't look one way. And it's, I just went on a tangent, but that
no,
is
no.
what is what I love about the space that I'm trying to create. Yeah.
Right. Go ahead. I was just gonna say it's not a tangent. You were talking about the practice, and actually you said the space that you're trying to create, but it seems like you already created it. So what's been
friends,
happening
people,
exactly?
Friends. If you ain't got your an Anodri, go get one. They're rare. Oh,
good.
Thanks, love.
But like, so what, yeah. Can you tell us about what's been happening? Like, yeah. Completely?
Yeah. So over the summer, we really like, I made the intentional decision to like really embark. Cause I have been thinking about it over the past year, especially with everything that was happening last year, and sitting in my living room, crying and grieving and not having a space to do that. And being like, I wish I had a space to be in community with other Black folks. And it's great to have friends, but it's also like, what about folks who don't have friends or who have families they can speak to? I was thinking a lot about that. I mean, like, shit, like, this is things we have to go through on a daily basis and continue going to school, going to work, all these things while we're experiencing constantly going through grief. But in like April, May was when I made the intentional decision to actually follow through with this process. And so since then, we've been doing research on the history of Black mental health within for the Black folks within Canada. We also say we're like, because in our mission, we say we're a safer and accessible space. But the word safer has kind of become incorporated by corporations. We're like, safer space, safe space, safe space. Everyone is using the word. And so we are doing research to be like, what do safer spaces actually look like? And why are they so necessary for Black folks, especially? So that we can have really like foundation about what how we're moving forward. We filmed a docu-series talking to different folks in the community about their experience with mental health and if they might have experienced. Anne-Audrey and Mercedes are both in it, so come check it out. yeah, we did a drama therapy over the summer as well for 5 weeks. And we hope to like find funding so we can make this sustainable. Because I think one of the things that happens is community organizations have like funding to do like mental health work, but it's always like 5 weeks, 2 weeks, every yeah. other week. So it's something that's not sustainable. And it's like, if someone is in school or they're doing something like, oh, I can't attend them right now, then by the time the 5 weeks is up and they don't know, they have anywhere else to go. And so that's why the Black Healing Center is going to be like fill that gap that we have at the moment. And then on August 28th, so in 2 weeks, we'll be having an exhibition where we'll be showing all the work that we've been doing. So the research, we'll be premiering the docu-series that we filmed. And then we'll be having a panel discussion with all the other community organizations and people from initiatives who are also working towards making mental health more accessible for the Black community, because we're not the only one. There's so many other folks that are doing this work, Black Healing Fund, the Lavender Collective, Black Mental Health Connections. And so there's like all these other amazing initiatives that are doing all this great work. And I think it's going to be a great discussion on the work we're doing now and how we can continue to help each other and make sure this work that we're doing now is sustainable towards the future.
Wow. You thought about everything. Wow.
Been trying. Yeah.
That's a strong foundation that you're building.
Thank you.
And I think it's so important. And sometimes there are spaces that pop up, but don't take that into consideration. So yeah, it becomes like a thing. Oh, people are not going to see me. How can I? It becomes like one thing that pops up, but then who ends up accessing it.
One of the lovely intellectuals I think of our time, Mariam Kebba, says everything worthwhile happens in community. So I think, you know, as I'm trying to, not me, I'm like, I have folks that are, we're collaborating, it's a collaborative effort that we're doing this work. It's really not a me, it's a we thing. And because we're trying to create it for the community, I have my own experience, but as Black folks, we're so large, we're so diverse, and everyone has different needs. And so trying to address as many as we can.
Yeah, I think that's like worthwhile to note that this is not just like a singular kind of program. It's one where it can adapt and flow, and it's like fluid depending on who it is, and it'll adapt to people's comfort levels or, like you said, like their needs. And I think that's one of the unique things
about we get it.
we got you.
The vocabulary is not strong today. I think it really speaks to the fact, like, when we say, you know, Black people are not a monolith, I think, like, Black Healing Center is one as well, you know, it comes in different layers, it comes in different steps, all leading up to one goal, you know, and that is to make sure you have an accessible service to, like, the community in need. Mm-hmm. And I think, like, that's 100% kudos to you and your team, Sam, for really thinking about that and keeping that in mind. And I feel like it's very rare in terms of, like, not rare, but in terms of organizations, like, when they make, like, build a project or propose product, sometimes it's like maybe like 5% that's maybe like geared towards community rather than maybe having half of it or even like 60% of it being like towards people who need it.
So that was really powerful. We'll be... You know when you don't have a Zoom account and you have to, like, wrap up real quick?
Oh, yes. So, short musical break.
Yes.
And then we'll be right back.
Hosted by Women of Color Radio.
On 90.3 FM.
Oh, that dress so scandalous, and you know another nigga can't handle it. So you're shaking that thing like, who's the ish? With the look in your eyes so devilish. You like to dance at the hip-hop spots, and you cruise to the groove to connect the dots. Not just urban, she liked pop. She was living la vida loca. She head downs like a drug. Thighs like what? Baby, move your what? I think I'm singing again. Drums like a drum. Thighs like what? All night long, yeah. Let me see that.
Welcome back to Spitfire Women of Color Radio on CKUT 90.3 FM. That was a thong song cover by Amber Mark, who, by the way, has such a mesmerizing voice. I can just see both of y'all faces.
Interesting choice this month.
But it's actually so good. Oops. It's actually so good. Like, it doesn't even sound true, because in studio you would have heard it, but on Zoom
it's okay. Well, imagine what it sounds like.
Can you really?
Well, okay. I'll use my imagination.
Mm-hmm.
So we know how mental health services should be more accessible, especially in the Black community. But Sam, I know you've been doing some research about that. What have you uncovered?
I think some of the highlights so far have been just highlighting how much racism really plays a key in our mental well-being, and how there's a lack of services towards Black folks, but also the how like Black folks experience a lot of mental illnesses but never seek the help that they need and deserve, because of the history that we have with the medical system within here in the global north. And then we also discovered that most of the barriers that exist towards accessing mental health care, which like the big ones are wait times. So people are like, oh, go get mental health. But when you go get mental health, like, you know, go see like a mental health physician. But when you go to see one, a lot, like right now, at least 99% of the Black therapists in Montreal have waiting lists. And so if you tell people, go get, see a therapist, and all these folks have waiting lists. Yeah. The other big one is obviously the cost of how much it costs to go see a therapist, because it's not been subsidized. And so it's like, this is still a luxury to be able to see a therapist. It's still a luxury. And it shouldn't be for Black folks. This shit should be free. Like mental health, I went to one of the a psychotherapist I'm working with. Her name is Dr. Lisa Ndejulu. She was like, mental health is political, and mental health really is motherfucking political. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, I think I'm supposed to swear. So I think a lot of things we're discovering is the mental health barriers that exist affect all Canadians, but then they affect a lot of Black folks, Indigenous folks, and folks of color, as you know, most injustices work in this global north that we do live in. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So with that in mind, what does mental health mean to you, Sam and Audrey? Not mental health, what does healing mean? I said healing, right? Sorry.
You said mental health, but no, you said healing, so
it's all good.
I don't know, because Sam, like the docuseries that you did, what was that last question that you asked?
I asked, and everyone who's listening, answer it for your own self if you're Black. It was Black healing is
right. Okay,
you finish up the sentence,
because I remember when you asked that question, mm-hmm. I answered abundance. Mm-hmm. And it really stayed with me. I had to think about it a lot. So I guess in that context, what does healing mean to me? And when I say abundance, I mean access. I mean the abundance to thrive, to be okay, mm-hmm. to be in community, to just abundance of everything. Because when the quote that you have on your fridge, what does it say?
You can't be well if you aren't well. No, you can do well if you aren't well.
Right. So when we're well, there's like so much potential to yeah. I want to say self-actualize, but in like when I think about sustainability in any type of movement, it's really important to be able to take care of ourselves. So, and even in the day-to-day life, right? Like when we're able to take care of ourselves, we have more energy, we have more to give back, we have more to not only to the world but to ourselves. So I think, yeah, mm-hmm. abundance in that way. Yeah, that's what I mean. Abundance mm-hmm. in every way. What about y'all?
Love it. For me, when I think healing, what it means to me, it means like developing like deeper connection, you know, as human being, as me speaking for my own self. I've always wanted connection with different people, deep connections, forming those. And I think being able to address my own traumas, my own things that I was going through allowed me to form those deeper connections with people, even people in like who caused me harm. I was able to form connections with them in a way that was healthy. Mm-hmm. For both of us. And so for me, healing, especially Black healing for me, is really returning to myself, mm-hmm. and connecting to my ancestors, but also the folks who come after me, and being in deep connection with all those people and the people that I interact with every day.
Yeah, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. When I think of about it, it reminded me of just how we're kind of vessels, and how like that the intergenerational cycle, it just keeps on going. So it's such a beautiful thing to be able to heal ourselves, to heal our ancestors, and heal the next generation.
What about you, Mercedes?
I think my response, I think, was power. Because I think there's something very powerful about being able to reclaim like your healing journey, mm-hmm. and having that kind of control over what might be out of control in your everyday life, mm-hmm. and feeling that once you go through the different layers or the different steps, you know, you do have a certain strength that comes to you, right? Because it's about sitting with the uncomfortable, sitting with your vulnerabilities, sitting in a space that you might have not been heard had you been in a different place, and knowing that you as a person, like you're worthwhile, and your existence matters, and your experience matters. And I think there's something very, I don't want to say overwhelming, but at the same time, it is overwhelming, but in a positive way, when you come to that realization.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But I think when...
Yeah. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Yeah. Healing is powerful. It's beautiful. It's ugly. It's...
Yeah.
Or thing. And I was rereading some parts of Bell Hooks' book, Sisters of the Yam, Black Women and Self-Recovery. Mm. And there's a quote that says, because she really insists on community being such an central, let me just use another word, central part of wellness. And the quote that I took from it is, much that is beautiful, magical, and unique in Black culture has come from the experience of communal Black life. And I was going to ask, what do you think? What, like, how does that make you feel? Especially thinking of, like, you know, all the initiatives that you're building.
Yeah. I mean, that is it. That is why I'm part of the Black and Center Collective. That is why I want to see us thrive, you know, and for us to do this, we have to do this in community. And every Black person carries around so much shit that's not ours to carry. And I think when we're in community with each other and are able to talk and know that we're not alone in whatever it is we're feeling, that in itself is healing, you know? And so I think community is central to any movement and any things that we do. And this is a movement. So, yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
What about you?
Me?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's...
What do you think?
Pretty much been said. Like, I completely agree with them. And I mean, that solidarity, I feel like, is something that, you know, if you feel like there's no one to lean on, like, who best lean on than people who are in your circle as well, like your close circle, and those who can have that somewhat shared experience. Because like we mentioned at the beginning, it's not someone who you're going to have to explain this experience and what you're feeling. It's the universal and the you know what I mean? It's and that in itself, I think, but it's true. Like, and even like just like her quote, it's magical. I'm sorry, but there's so much, like, when you have that, when you walk in the street and you can just do that communal nod. Mm-hmm. Like when you see some type of caucasity in the streets, like, you know, like it's just the and actions that we all know, the why, the headache, the eye roll, and just like we understand. Mm-hmm. And it's just like the silent, like unspoken language that we share.
Yeah.
Regardless of like if we've spoken to each other, we haven't spoken to each other. We're all part of like this network, if you will.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The fact that it's like, it's kind of like, you know, cells in the body. Like we have the synapses going and we work. We just work.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like one body that's just, you know, moving through together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was thinking like, just if, for example, something happens on the bus, you know, that like you said, some sort of caucasity and like there's Black people in different areas of the bus, they might like react at the same time, even if they didn't see each other. And I'm thinking also about like collective grieving. Mm-hmm. When something happens to a Black person, either like police brutality or just like a community, like whatever that happens, it's always like it's so taxing on my body, even if I don't know these people. It's like there's something about it I just can't put my finger on it. Like, what is it that we feel, even if it's all across the globe, you know? Like so like, go ahead.
Oh, I was just gonna say that I always, whenever I think about community and the need and like the solidarity within BIPOC communities, like I'm so like in Audre Lorde, again going back to her godmother and Sister Outsider, she puts an emphasis on how colonizers, when they came to colonize nations, they like use the divide and conquer tactic. Yeah. It's like, if you divide these people, then it's easier to conquer them, because they knew the power that comes in unity, in solidarity. Mm-hmm. And so that is something that has been used and continues to be used. And so it's just like, it's time for us to reclaim our solidarity with each other in a healthy way, because community does exist, but community can also be harmful. And so it's like, how do we build healthy communities that support each other? And
powerful. And another part of the book, Bell Hooks talks about like, she, I guess it shows that she loves the Buddhist monk Thich Nhat Hanh's work. And she, yeah, so she talks about his work as well. And she says, these traditional Black communities are similar to what Buddhist monk Thich Nhat Hanh calls communities of resistance, quote unquote. They were places where Black people could retain our sense of wholeness and integrity. Nhat Hanh teaches that communities of resistance should be places where people can return to themselves more easily, where the conditions are such that they can heal themselves and recover their wholeness. Whew. When I read that,
I think it goes and ties in really well what was said before, kind of like, especially the part where it says, like, where people can return to themselves, because it's true, like, you can get back when you're in community with others. There is a part of you that, you know, you find yourself, like you just did, I know it was a big like sigh of relief, as if like, yes, like you resonate with that.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that helps in the process of being able to, one, get in touch with yourself, get in touch with others, and then be able to move on to the next step.
Right.
Whatever that next step may be for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And like, really what we're doing within like therapy, within spaces of healing, is gaining tools to deal with everyday life. And so we need to go back to our full selves without having to go down rabbit holes. It's gaining these tools. And so it's like, this is why community, I think, is so important, even when we like healing ourselves, really healing our communities, because yes. we're getting these tools that we'll continue to pass on and utilize. And those tools change as we change as human beings. Right. And so,
Yeah. And when you were talking about divide and conquer, I'm thinking of like the world that we live in is so individualistic and like, so like, you know, capitalism, it's go, 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 produce. And like, it's like we lose ourselves in the process by trying to just survive. So I think it's powerful, not only to see how you can heal yourself in communities, but also, yeah, seeing yourself and the community as like, wow, I keep going with my gestures that nobody's gonna see. They go hand in hand.
Wow. Yeah, they do.
Oh, yay.
I think with that, we're gonna take our last musical break and then we'll be back with some self-care right here on Spitfire Women of Color Radio on CKT 90.3 FM.
I need your time, I need your rhythm, need you to be mine. I need your hunger, I need your faith. I need to see your face. It's been forever, forever is a long time for you to stay away.
Welcome back to Spitfire Women of Color Radio on CKUT 90.3 FM. You were just listening to Spend Some Time by Amari featuring Wanda Cole. Another smooth voice that feels like caramel.
Oh, as usual, we're finishing off our discussion this evening with our self-care segment. And before we started recording, we were talking about how time is just zooming by. And I can't believe it's already the end of August. I mean, when this airs, it's going to be August 25th. Mm-hmm. Like, oh my God. Just when I was kind of like typing that, I had a little panic moment. I thought we're in September already. Like, I can't believe. Anyways, so how are you planning to take care of yourself for the rest of the summer? Whew. I know. Sorry to break it down.
Because I mean, I guess the only thing to do is just take advantage of like the good weather that we're getting and just enjoy that before like the cold wave like comes through, because it's almost that time. As much as we don't want to speak about it, just go outside and bask in the sun and then come back in and like get together now that we have a little bit more wiggle room to kind of go out and do the hangout safely. But yeah, I guess it's just one day at a time, one summer day at a time.
Did you say one summer at a time?
One summer day at a time.
Okay.
I live in a world where there's multiple summers.
I mean,
I wish. Actually, I don't know, but anyway.
You wouldn't want to live in a place where it's summer all year round?
It depends what kind of summer, because you've been seeing these heat waves, because I'm like,
Yeah, that's true.
That is
true. That is true.
Heat waves, no, that and forest fires. I don't know how I, like,
really discouraged.
Honestly, like, shout out to the people, like, who have to go through this year after year after year, like,
Heat waves.
And I can remember when the first bout of, like, heat wave started out west, I had to do, like, the directions, because, like, whew, geography, not my forte. I remember, like, my boyfriend's, like, family were all like, are you guys okay? Like, it's saying, like, Canada has a heat wave. I'm like, huh? What is happening? Like, no. It'll come gradually. Like, we can prepare. And, like, it's so funny because this is coming from, like, people who live, like, in the Caribbean. Like, all year round. And I feel like it's hotter there than it is up here. And, like, they're worried about us. And I thought it was, like, really cute. But just, like,
the community. Like,
you know? There you go. And, like, isn't it like 35 degrees with humidity plus over there? Like, I'm good, you know? With my once in a while heat wave that comes through, you know? Like, it was.
Yeah.
But I mean, at the same time, just like coming out of just the beginning of the year until now, it just feels good to have a little bit of heat and not have to go out in like super cold weather.
True. Yeah, I mean, heat all year round. There's also other things that come with it. I'm just thinking about like the earthquake recently. It's like all these things. Anyways, I don't want to get lost into this. self-care, right? Yeah, I agree to how refreshing that is, because especially like in the winter, it was more intense with COVID, and so now it's nice to be able to hang out outside. And I feel like, I've been enjoying my time more outside with my dog also.
Yay.
So I think I'm gonna try to take longer walks. And what else am I gonna do for self-care? Anyways, what are you gonna do? I'll think about it.
I think I need to like eat better, like give some nutrients to my body.
Yeah.
I have not been doing that. So I'm gonna try and do that a little bit more, and just try and spend as much time as I can outside, because the world is blah. So
Very true. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Also, it's a, It's almost somebody's special birthday. So whenever you hear this, someone's special birthday will have passed. So this is an early happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Am I singing on the radio right now?
You are. And this was Samantha from the Black Healing Center with their voice like caramel.
So if you hear this, call up your girl, wish her a happy, happy birthday, because she deserves it. Yeah. Babe Leo.
Oh, thank you.
Did you think of your second like thing that you were going to do for healing yourself?
Oh, shoot. I want to take care of so many things. I should also eat better, but I have an app that's trying to help me. But I'm just looking at my house right now, and I just want it to be clean.
Preach. Same. Like, even after this, like, I have to go. I'm doing, like, I've been, like, putting it off for, like, 4 days. So, yeah, I need to go do that, too.
Wow. Like, you're, like, organized.
Not even. It's just like, I like you saying that, just like a reminder, like after this, like I need to really get it. I've just been like very immersed in myself.
Necessary.
Like just like music and just like watching like Netflix, just like look, going outside or like going grocery shopping, like doing like everything else with that. So no, you saying that, just like that was like my reminder.
Yeah, I mean, it's a reminder, but when is it going to be put into action? I don't know. But it is something that I want to get through.
That sounds like a very optimistic and thought out goal. So with that, we would like to formally continually share this with all of you listening. We want to hear your voices, all Black, Indigenous, and women and femmes, and non-binary folks of color. We want to hear your voice. This is a platform for you. Please reach out if you want to talk about your next project or join our conversation. And thank you once again, Sam, for taking a moment out of your very busy, hectic schedule to chat with us and share this space as per usual.
Thank you for having me. Y'all are the best for holding this down. This is so, so needed. And also, if you're listening to this, it's on the 25th. Go grab your ticket to the Black Healing Center and come chat with us on the 28th.
Yes, yes. We'll have to put all the information on the Facebook page.
And Spitfire Women of Color Radio broadcasts every last Wednesday of the month at 6 p.m. on CKUT 90.3 FM. And if you are a femme or non-binary person of color and want to be part of the space, this is a platform for you too. So please, please, please reach out. And you can write to us at spitfire@ckut.ca, and we are easily reachable on our Facebook page named Spitfire Women of Color. So leaving you with GOID by Lava LaRue. Well, last time we were live, we highlighted some queer artists for Pride Month. Well, apparently it's different here and it's Pride Month in Montreal, so happy Pride. Take care of yourselves and good night.
You hollered at me, so I roll so soft, never play it sick, I know what I want. I could be the girl of your dreams, I could be the ice your cream, I could be the apple of your eyes, so fly when I ride by camel, taste so sweet, oh. But I can't lie, baby, Vince, I think I like you. Why be friends when we were written like a haiku? I'll take it lightly, but if you like me, I'ma pull you so close, I'll do it rightly. And you know that you and me roll, we'll roll so widely. Scrap a bunny and cloud, we've been here in cloud on the G-O-Y-D.
You know that I ain't blind. I can feel the tension even when we're not together, even when we talk on FaceTime.
CKUT 90.3 FM, Montreal.
Grandola Vila Morena, terra da fraternidade, o povo é quem mais ordena, dentro de ti ó cidade, dentro de ti ó cidade, o povo é quem mais ordena, terra da fraternidade, Grândola Vila Morena. Em cada esquina um amigo, em cada rosto igualdade, Grândola.